Welcome to WTBU News Today. I'm Evan Jimenez. Boston has been very warm lately, with temperatures Tuesday sitting in the high 60s to low 70s. Temperatures Wednesday are expected to reach a high of 72 degrees with cloudy skies in the afternoon. The rest of the week looks sunny, with temperatures dropping to the low 60s as we head into the weekend. Now let's move on to the Boston University COVID-19 update. On Monday, October 5th, only one Boston University student tested positive for COVID-19. For the week of September 29th to October 5th, 0.04% of tested students were deemed positive for the coronavirus, with 0.06% of tested faculty and 0.05% of tested staff also receiving positive test results. On average, BU's lab took just 16.8 hours to process each test. In total, 138 members of the BU community have tested positive this fall. 13 students are currently in isolation, and 91 have recovered from the disease. Christina Melhorn joins us now to report on Boston University's COVID-19 protocols.
Boston University announced that it is now offering students who live off campus and test positive for COVID-19 the opportunity to move into university housing for the length of their isolation period with no additional cost. Before, off-campus students who tested positive were required to isolate at their own residence. Off-campus students who choose to move into university housing after testing positive will be transported by BU to one of the four residence halls on the Fenway campus. Undergraduate and graduate students in isolation will be kept in separate housing. Student Health Services Director Judy Platt told BU Today that the university will test off-campus students who have been identified as close contacts of those who have tested positive. If any close contacts are not BU students, the university will provide the roommates with a DPH test pass for a test at a local site. If off-campus close contacts test positive, they will have to quarantine in their own homes, not university-provided housing. Undergraduate and graduate students who live off-campus have tested positive for COVID and would like to use the university-provided isolation housing should contact Residence Life. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Christina Melhorn for WTBU News.
Thanks, Christina. Joining us now is Amanda Schneider with a report regarding a New Hampshire middle school.
Parents gathered outside a New Hampshire middle school on Monday, demanding that in-person learning resume within the town. Those in support of ending remote learning gathered outside of Ledge Middle School in Nashua, where they rallied against the district's decision to have completely remote learning until January 2021, after it originally planned to switch to a hybrid model later this month. Nearly 100 people attended the rally, most of them members of a Facebook group called the Nashua Parent Voice. The group has sent letters to State Governor Chris Sununu and Nashua Mayor Jim Donches about returning to in-person learning, claiming that school officials have not communicated or created a legitimate plan regarding returning to the classroom. In Fairfield, Connecticut, I'm Amanda Schneider for WTBU News.
Thank you, Amanda. Now we'll head over to Stephanie Joseph for a story regarding a fatal shooting in Texas.
A Texas officer was arrested and charged with murder Monday after fatally shooting an unarmed black man. Sean Lucas, an officer for the Wolf City Police Department, attempted to detain 31-year-old Jonathan Price while responding to a call about a fight at a local gas station on Saturday. The Texas Rangers, an investigative entity within the Texas Department of Public Health, reported that Price resisted arrest in a non-threatening posture before walking away from the scene. Lucas retaliated by tasing and shooting Price, who later died at the hospital. Price's attorney said that his client tried to protect a woman from being abused and that witnesses said the dispute was resolved by the time authorities arrived. The Texas Rangers then determined that Lucas's behavior was, quote, not objectionably reasonable, unquote, before formally charging him. Lucas has since posted his $1 million bond. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Stephanie Joseph for WTBU News.
Thanks, Stephanie. Next, a story regarding new COVID-19 symptoms from May Claire Sabin.
A study published Monday, October 5th by Northwestern University found many hospitalized COVID-19 patients also suffer from neurological symptoms. The study discovered 82% of the 509 coronavirus patients hospitalized across 10 hospitals in the Chicago area between March and April developed long-lasting medical issues stemming from the nervous system. Dr. Igor Korolenk, chief of neuroinfectious diseases at Northwestern University, said the results revealed 4 out of 5 hospitalized patients in the study had neurological problems. Korolenk reported the symptoms range from headaches, dizziness, muscle aches, and delayed brain function to coma, short-term memory loss, and stupor. Even more alarming, many patients report experiencing these symptoms long after they first tested positive for COVID-19, suggesting possible side effects of the disease researchers are yet to discover. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Mayclaire Sabin for WTBU News.
Thank you, Mayclaire. Finally, an update from Giselle Mehta about unrest in Kyrgyzstan.
Electoral authorities in Kyrgyzstan nullified the result of the country's parliamentary election following violent protests in the capital. Last night, demonstrators calling for the annulment seized and vandalized parliamentary buildings, including the office of President Sooronbay Jeenbekov. The mass protests have resulted in hundreds of injuries and one death, leaving the country in political turmoil. In a statement, Kyrgyzstan's Central Election Commission said that the reason for the election nullification was to prevent a further escalation of tensions. On Sunday, official results gave the majority of seats in parliament to 2 parties known to be supportive of the president out of the 16 that stood for election. Reports of vote buying and other electoral fraud circulated, which caused the 12 opposition parties to reject the results and brought forth mass public outrage. In a video statement, President Jeenbekov called for calm and accused the opposition of illegally trying to seize power. However, the president said that he was on board for an election rerun and ordered police forces not to fire on protesters. In Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, I'm Giselle Mehta for WTBU News.
That's it for this edition of WTBU News Today. Be sure to tune into our full program every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern over on WTBU Radio. On behalf of Grace Ferguson, Alex Corey, Hannah Yoshinaga, and Stella Lawrence, I'm Evan Jimenez reporting from Boston, Massachusetts for WTBU News.